The committee on rules and elections, Thursday, April 29, 1999, 4:30 p.m., hearing room D, Chair Senator Charles Scott.
Elections for the Oregon Senate, and we'll open a public hearing on SCR 39 and SB 1311. We're going to invite Bob Cantine and Bob Cannon to come up and tell us. Yeah, I guess. D.C. D.C.
There is a comic strip.
Tell us what for. And before you do that, though, I'd like the committee administrator to tell us for what reason we've got dash one amendments on.
The dash one amendments to SJR 39 are necessary because, as written, SJR 39 would repeal Section 15 of Article 11 of the Oregon Constitution, which is the section that provides for requirement that state pay local governments for unfunded mandates. Section 15A of the same article is a referral to the people required by requires the legislature to refer to the people the question of whether the unfunded mandates provision should be retained. So the dash one amendments would need to be adopted in order to conform to the requester's intent.
Thank you. For the record.
For the record, my name is Bob Cannon. I'm representing the League of Oregon Cities this afternoon. Dick Townsend is out of town, and that's the only reason that he is not here. Bob Cantine is going to carry the ball this afternoon. But for the purposes of the League of Oregon Cities, we are very supportive of the Dash 1 amendments to SJR 39, and we are very supportive of Senate Bill 1311.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I've given you a little sort of handout paper there on the history of what was HJR 85 and later ballot measure 30 and now is resulting in this SJR 39. The original ballot measure was passed in 1995 session and it was approved at the November election in 1996. Contained in that ballot measure, as you can see from the attachment, was a requirement, section 15A, that there be a, it was a sunset in effect that required a re-vote in the year 2000 at the general election if section 15 was to be retained. Otherwise, it is repealed by that sunset on July 1. On June 30, 2001. That provision for the sunset was added in the Senate in 1995. That's where it came from. I think it was Senator Neil Bryant at that time added the sunset on this. And it is, I'll say in just a minute, the first time there has been a sunset in the Constitution. We originally understood and thought it was written to just automatically put it on the ballot. And I guess between conversations between the Secretary of State's office and Attorney General and Legislative Council, they determined that, well, the legislature needed to act. It has to be put on, but it needed action by the legislature to do it, to get that ball rolling. Then I talked just a minute about the drafting of SJR 39. One of the issues that Legislative Council faced was how do you put this back on the ballot? You've never put one on like this where you're not, in a sense that we might think of what is an amendment and not amending in the normal way you think about an amendment. So they were puzzling over what they should do. They said, well, let's just make the amendment to repeal Section 15. In our discussions with them, we pointed out that the Section 15A, where I think it's four times, says the issue to be put before the voters is whether to retain Section 15, not whether to repeal Section 15. And what we ended up agreeing to, and Bob Cannon was an instrumental part of those discussions, was the amendment which says that the amendment is to repeal Section 15A and retain Section 15. So that is why there is an amendment drafted so that it goes more consistent with what the original ballot measure called for in this Lee vote. With that, maybe I should stop and see if there are any questions. I did comment here on the rest of the paper about some of how the measure works, because one senator did say, I'd like to hear what your thoughts were, what's going on, so I tried to outline them here, but we have had good cooperation from the governor's office. They have been very explicit in their budget instructions to agencies, whether the Measure 30 is there, and that generally, unless they have a very good case, they shouldn't be proposing a mandate, and unless they can suggest how to fund it. And so those things have all been going fairly well, and we've tried to track bills, and there have been quite a few of them, most of them small. Minor ones that probably don't reach the threshold of being a Measure 30 unfunded mandate. But with that, I'll be glad to stop me.
Questions?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Mullet.
I don't know if you put it here. Do you recall what the outcome, other than being successful, of the election on ballot Measure 30 was in 1990.
I believe it was, you mean the actual percentage vote?
Yeah.
It was about 56% support and 44% opposed or something, and there may have been a
percent.
Yeah. Otherwise.
And further question, Mr. Chairman.
Mr.
Miller. I understand that you're putting this on simply because of the sunset, but for the sunset, you would not be here.
Yes,
that's correct.
Mr. Chair, yes, Senator Miller, that is correct.
And you would do your level best to defeat this proposal. You don't want this repealed, correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Miller, that is why we do not want it repealed, and that is why we are...
This bill, but you don't want, once it gets on the ballot, then you will work to defeat the repeal of the current provision. Is that...
Mr. Chair, Senator Miller, that there is a proposed amendment to SDR 39-1.
All right.
And what that amendment does, that was part of my discussion there, that in working with this office, we got everybody to understand and agree that we have two things at work here. And that's what this does is say that the amendment to the Constitution that's going to go back out there because of this sunset would read that Section 15A is repealed, but Section 15 is retained. And that was it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Further discussion? Further questions? Not.
We're going to close the public hearing and open a work session on SJR 39.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Miller.
I would move the -1 amendment to Senate Joint Resolution 39.
Senator Miller has moved -1 amendment to SCR 39. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Chairman, I would move Senate Joint Resolution 39 as amended to the floor of the dispatch recommendation.
Senator Miller has moved SCR 39 as amended to the floor of the dispatch recommendation. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Byers.
Aye.
Senator Miller.
Aye.
Senator Stone.
Aye. Adam Steve, the necessary majority, SGR 39, move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Close the work session on SGR 39. Open the work session on Senate Bill 1311.
Public hearing or this was the combined public hearing. Well, then, Mr. Chairman, I would move Senate Bill 1311.
Do this right?
Bill, so 1311 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Thank you. In discussion, the 1311 is companion to SCR 39 and is the actual referral.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate Bill 1311 actually sets out the ballot title that will be referred to the voters at the general election in November of 2000, and it specifies that the ballot title may not be petitioned or objected to in the normal process. But ballot titles are able to be petitioned to before the Supreme Court.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Not clerk, call the roll.
Senator Biden.
Aye.
Senator
Miller. Aye. Senator Schwab. Aye. I receive the necessary majority. Senate Bill 1311. Move to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Thank you, Senator Miller. Going to open a public hearing. On.
Thank you, Senators, very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
That I now understand it.
We're going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1306. For any who might be here for
first time ever.
For Senate Bill 1312, we've removed that from today's agenda because of lack of witnesses. On Senate Bill 1306, we're now in public hearing. Jim Kruger and Paul Cosgrove.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Paul Cosgrove, representing the Oregon Financial Services Association. We asked that your committee graciously allowed this bill to be introduced to deal with some relatively small technical changes to the Consumer Finance Act. It was actually changes that were worked out between our association, which is the trade association of the normal consumer finance licensees, and the department during the interim. And since it's often they're very technical, I'm going to let Jim Kruger, who is the administrator of those programs, explain them to the committee. But I just wanted to mention that we are, of course, supportive of the bill.
Thank you. You'll be speaking to the dash one?
Yes, sir. I will address that amendment also. For the record, my name is James Kruger. I'm the program manager for the Consumer Finance Program, which is housed in the Division of Finance and Corporate Securities within the Department of Consumer and Business Services. Bill before you, I'm here to testify in support of the bill before you, which accomplishes some cleanup to the Act, provides some relief to licensees without affecting the consumer protection provisions of the Act. Specifically, it makes a definition change that eliminates some archaic language having to do with residency requirements and substitutes language that requires an applicant for a license to simply be qualified to do business in the state of Oregon. A second amendment would eliminate a provision which is currently in the statute that requires an applicant to satisfy a convenience and advantage provision. That provision requires applicants to provide an awful lot of demographic information about the community that they're going to serve, as well as some of their financial information. It essentially puts us in the position of making decisions that the marketplace ought to be making, and the department believes that businesses ought to be able to determine whether or not a location can support their business activity. That if this bill would pass, that marketplace function would occur, and that we'd be out of the business of making those decisions. A third amendment would allow a licensee to move their license from within one city to outside of that city's limits. Currently, and I think this was related to the convenience and advantage provision in the statute, Currently, if a licensee, for example, in Beaverton wants to move two blocks down the road and they get outside the city limit into another city, they have to go through a whole new application process, and that doesn't seem to make much sense. So this would provide that they could just transfer their license to a new location, assuming they were still serving essentially the same general community. A fourth provision would amend the bill to change an annual report date from on or before February 15th. That date occurs in the worst possible time of the year for licensees to submit reports. We're asking for authority for the director to change by rule that date, and we would anticipate consulting with the industry to find out what would be a reasonable date in terms of having their audited financials prepared. The bill contains a new provision which would require a licensee to surrender their license if they do not make loans under that license. That occurs currently when a licensee also holds and uses a mortgage lender license. Persons who have both those licenses generally have both of them because the Consumer Finance Act license provides an exemption to the interest rate limitation for second mortgages under $50,000 that's contained in Chapter 82, Oregon's interest rate law. And it's our belief, and we have some instances where not a single consumer finance loan has been made by those licensees. They're all made under the mortgage lender license, but they want to take advantage of that exemption that's in Chapter 82. And we believe that it may not be appropriate to use the consumer finance license just to be able to make high interest rate loans to consumers. Finally, let me turn to the amendment that Representative Mannix has offered. We have a situation primarily with people who make so-called payday loans, and I suppose you've all heard about payday loans by now, that those are short-term, single payback loans of high interest rate, usually for up to a two-week period. We have persons conducting a business that they call check cashing that are, in fact, making those loans, and we have attorney general opinions that state that they should be licensed. In the past, when we've received complaints about those persons, and we ask them why they aren't licensed, they simply tell us to go away, that they're not going to talk to us. And the reason why they do that is because the way the statute is currently written, the director has authority and supervision authority over licensees. Representative Mannix's amendment would insert language that states licensees and persons who should be licensed. That would enable us to ensure that everybody's playing on a level playing field and that consumers are being protected under the rules of the Consumer Finance Act. I think with that, I'll stop, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Any questions? Senator Barr. Jim, does this in any way affect the Title I companies? This is only the payday.
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, in fact, all of these provisions, with the exception of the amendment, which is intended to get at that problem with payday loans, address any consumer finance activity and do not impact solely time lending or payday lending. The relating clause that we have in this bill was intended to narrow the focus of this down so we wouldn't get into those issues.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Beyer, if I could just add, my association represents the old line standard consumer finance companies that have been licensed under this statute for years and years. The payday lenders and title lenders who are newer in this state in the last year or so are also getting licensed under this statute, and these provisions then, of course, do affect them, but I think they're all appropriate regardless of what kind of loans you're making. They're cleanup type things.
Any further questions? Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A little intrigued about the when the business changes location, and it says, and I applaud you for this, the director determines that the location will serve substantially the same community as it served at the essentially present location. Are there some basis for that finding? I mean, at what point, how far down the road this just going to be you come in and you tell the director that, you know, pretty much the same clientele, we're two blocks from where we used to be, or I'm worried about, I'm not worried about, this is probably a very positive step, and maybe the argument would be over if you went 10 blocks to 8 blocks, you're out of luck.
Mr. Chair, Senator Miller, the department's intent is that persons who would move a license, for example, from Beaverton to Salem probably should get a new license because they're going to be doing a different type of business than they were doing in Beaverton. If they're moving within a reasonable distance, and I know that's an arbitrary word, but I think of reasonable in terms of serving essentially the same socioeconomic group of people, then we believe they ought to be able to do that and not have to go through a new license application process.
Actually, I'd say, Mr. Chairman, this is, as I said, I think it's very positive, and that probably one of the great frustrations is when we have such a hard and fast line drawn in the statute and the business that didn't really change, and you all would be in the position of having to follow the law and say, well, hey, says you got to do it fine. And this gives you the flexibility that I think is advisable. And again, I commend you for it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Miller, I might add that the law has a 30-day posting period. So if someone wanted to move their license and we did not have this change, they'd have to wait 30 days before they could actually start in their new location.
And this eliminates that, Mr. Chair, which we think is a good move.
No further questions. We're going to close the hearing and open the work session. Open the work session on Senate Bill 1306.
Mr. Chair, move dash one.
Senator Barr moves the dash one amendments to House Senate Bill 1306.
Any discussion? Any objection?
Hearing none. So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 1306 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Barr has moved Senate Bill 1306 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion? None.
Hearing none. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Barr.
Aye.
Senator Miller.
Aye.
Senator Strzok.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, Senate Bill 1306 moves the floor with a due pass recommendation. The chair will carry.
So should they.
I think has a chance.
As it can.
I don't know, but any further business?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Can I just inquire? I think you said we would not have a hearing on Senate Bill 1312 because of the lack of witnesses.
Correct?
We had a plethora of witnesses, but the person who brought the bill to us was not available.
I appreciate that, and I just wanted to inquire, I don't know the procedure we are talking about.
Well,
vacuum extractor?
Well, we've had, have to have that explained, I think, but they used a vacuum instead of horses in some deliveries.
Oh, right.
In their cups. And there's a way of doing that.
Very similar to Christopher Norris.
Things that there ought to be a described way of doing it.
Was there casualty in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. From North and from Mother.
Right, I see it through question. Okay, well, I thank you for that information.
The sent evidence office just had a video that somebody got the procedure that the committee was up to.
President's office has a video?
Well, that's Jennifer North, the request group from Grant Staff. They introduced it.
I see. We have both the help from the medical profession that is going to testify in this.
Very strong opposition against it, unfortunately.
It's actually folks who can speak to it medically.
Yep, exactly. And that's, they were available to what the requester was, and so that's why I'm setting it over.
No further business. We'll adjourn the Committee on Rules and Elections, and I thank you for